Thank you, thank you, thank you for leading us in worship. I got a text yesterday from our new pastor coming. He says, "Good day, brother, just to let you know that you hired a grandpa. Baby girl born 4:07 a.m. this morning, Ella J. Danielle. Rachel and baby are doing well. She's a cutie." I'm so glad. Aren't we happy for them? Yes. So June 25th will be their first Sunday here. That'll be the formal installation service, and we're just getting more and more excited about their coming. And you also should know that today is my birthday. Yeah. I'm 56. You don't believe it, do you? It's my spiritual birthday. Gotcha. Yes. It was 56 years ago today that I gave my heart to the Lord in that building in Sundre, Alberta. It used to be a community hall. I think it's a mechanic shop or something. They're still fixing things. Okay, so, but thanks for the birthday greetings. Appreciate that. I looked it up, and it was a year ago and a day ago that I preached here, and I told you the same crazy thing about it being 55 years, and you greeted me the same way. What a bunch, you know. I thank God for revealing himself to me through the ministry of friends, neighbors, family. God used to bring me to the place where I understood the gospel and committed my life to Jesus Christ those years ago. But you know, sometimes people hold back in making a commitment of their lives to Jesus. There's some various reasons why people hold back. Sometimes they don't trust Christ as their Savior because he doesn't do what they expect he will do. Sometimes he doesn't do what they expect, when they expect he would do it. And sometimes they don't do things how he expected they would do it. And so they're not sure about trusting him. Has God ever surprised you with the way he answers some of your questions? I sure has mine. And even though Jesus told his followers and everyone that came to hear his preaching, he told them what he was going to do, he told them how he was going to accomplish it, and he told them when it was going to happen, they just didn't get it. That's the part we're going to talk about today. Last Sunday we celebrated the resurrection of the Lord. That tomb is empty. Thanks, Patty, for making the light shine through the empty tomb. Appreciate that a lot. And we're going to pick up the story from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. One of my favorite passages of Jesus one-on-two kind of encounters. I've always loved this passage from the time I was a new Christian and read it. There's a lot of questions that are asked back and forth in this passage. I bought a book, got it delivered just the other day. It's the 307 questions that Jesus asked. It's a very interesting book. Fortunately, they combined some of them into groups. But three of those 307 questions are in our reading for this morning. One of my questions as I studied this passage was, why did Jesus choose these two particular individuals to spend a few hours with on his resurrection Sunday morning or afternoon or evening? I mean, there were thousands of pilgrims in Jerusalem celebrating the Passover. They're all out-of-towners. They're heading home. And he chose these two. I'll try to answer that question this morning. But even more fascinating to me is how he led them from their questions to answers, how he led them from darkness to light. and from doubt to a faith that transformed their lives and everyone else they shared it with. There's a lot in this passage about how we can share our faith with those around us. Emmaus is where this one town is called, where they were walking. The word Emmaus means hot spring. Not Harrison, not Radium, and not all the others down in the Kootenays. But Emmaus meant hot spring, and sometimes it was called the Spring of Salvation. An interesting name for a town. Now, whatever the case, if Emmaus represents a place, let's pick that cross. Let's say Emmaus is represented by that cross. And I believe that you and I are somewhere between here and Emmaus. If Emmaus represents the place where Jesus is revealed to us and our faith is fixed firmly in Him. You and I are on a journey. We're somewhere between here and that revelation of who He is. And that's the journey we're going to follow in Luke chapter 24. Let's read verses 13 to 16 first. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, and as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. There's two places referenced here. There's three people here. We're going to talk about the two places first. Emmaus is the first one, this hot spring of salvation town. Emmaus is called Al-Kabibah today and is in the West Bank in Israel. Instead of being 7 miles from Jerusalem, it's currently a 30-kilometer-hour trip because of the terrain and because of the tight border crossings into the West Bank. This part of Israel is very mountainous, and the 7 miles mentioned in Luke 24:13 would have been a real workout of ups and downs, like Bastion Mountain and back down again a couple times over to get between Jerusalem and Emmaus. Walking that distance was a workout. Took 3 or 4 hours. The other city is Jerusalem, and Jerusalem means city of peace. Have you watched the news? This is called the city of peace, but it hasn't always enjoyed peace. It was and is the chosen place by God's chosen place for his people to come and worship, and for centuries Jerusalem was the center of worship for the Jewish people. Today, it's still a holy place for practicing Jews. It's also a holy place for Muslims and for Christians. But in Bible times, thousands of Jews made pilgrimages to Jerusalem for 3 feasts, one of them being the Passover, which has just happened according to our passage here. The Passover was great for family gatherings and celebrating what God had done for them in the past. So our story picks up here on the next day, the Sabbath after the Passover was the end of the feast. The next day would be Sunday, and that's where our passage picks up, Resurrection Sunday. Most people were traveling home on that Sunday after Passover. Those who traveled north took a road that went to Jericho, and then, I don't know if you can see it very well, the red line on your right. They'd cross the Jordan, they'd go up that way, and they'd go back across the Jordan further up. They did not